Good morning, everybody. This is Frank Riccio. I am your host today on Talking About the Law. Today, we have with us, our topic is going to be on medical malpractice, specifically relating to failure to diagnose cancer cases. I have the great honor of having as a guest a colleague and actually a friend, Bob Schumann, who has 40 years of experience as a trial lawyer in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, as well as Rhode Island. He is very, very experienced in the medical malpractice area, and he is going to talk to us about failure to diagnose cancer cases. Bob, good morning.
Good morning, Frank.
Bob, could you tell us a little bit about your office? What type of work do you do? What does your firm handle?
Our firm handles a combination of general personal injury cases as well as medical malpractice cases. I would say we do probably about 65% medical malpractice and 35% of other types of general personal injury cases.
Okay, and do you have a website?
We do.
Could you tell us what that website is?
Sure, it's www.robertschumannlaw.com.
And do you have a phone number?
We do.
Could you tell us what that is?
Well, our phone number, our toll-free number is 866-793-9993.
Bob, what's involved in evaluating a failure to diagnose cancer case?
Evaluating a failure to diagnose cancer case is similar to evaluating just about any other type of medical negligence claim. The first thing that we're going to do is we're going to take a look at the medical records. The medical records really are key. We have two registered nurses on our staff in the office who gather together all of the records, and then they evaluate the records. And basically what we're looking for is what's in the records and maybe what is not in the records. But it is the key to our initial evaluation of the case. Many times clients will tell us one thing and the records will show something a little bit different. And it's really, again, what's in the records or what may not be in the records.
And at some point in time, do you meet with the client?
Certainly. If our own initial in-house evaluation proves to be one that looks like there is a potential for there being a valid claim, then we will meet with the clients so that they can get a chance to evaluate us, we can get a chance to evaluate them, and if that looks like it's something that we should be continuing to go forward on, then our next step is to go to various medical experts.
All right. Now, both of us do a lot of medical malpractice, so we kind of have a routine, and screening obviously is extremely important.
Crucial.
And first of all, we screen the cases because we want to make sure we get it right. We don't want to bring a claim that's going to end up being either frivolous or just having no merit. So there's a whole type of process that you go through. Again, in my experience, there appear to be five major areas of cancer misdiagnosis, which are breast, colon, lung, oral cancer, and skin cancer. Bob, let's look at breast cancer, okay? What is the screening process for that type of case?
The screening process for us is that, the first thing we will do is we'll be looking at the medical records. Most failure to diagnose cancer cases boil down to one of two things happening. One is the physician, the healthcare provider that the patient is going to, seeking advice as to why am I having this symptom in breast cancer? Why am I having a lump? There's the evaluation of that healthcare provider. And does the healthcare provider take seriously the symptoms that the patient is complaining of? And does the healthcare provider fail to follow up on these various complaints? The other thing that we're looking for sometimes is the misdiagnosis, a misread of radiological reports. The doctor does do the right thing, sends the patient with the lump for mammography, and mammographer misreads that study, causing, again, a delay in the diagnosis. And the third area generally is pathological or pathology misdiagnosis, where a biopsy is conducted, and all a biopsy is a sampling of human tissue. It's put into a slide, looked at under microscopes with specific staining, and the pathologist is looking to see whether or not there is signs and hallmarks of a cancer. And the misread of those can also have disastrous results.
Now, are there various stages of cancer and when we're talking about breast cancer?
Sure. Most cancers are staged 1, 2, 3, or 4. And what that does is, and each stage has different attributes to it. And it's generally has to do with the what's called a TNM method, which is tumor node M is for metastasis. The size of the tumor, is it small, is it medium, is it large? Node, has there been any nodal involvement? Has it spread out to the lymph nodes? And M, meaning metastasis to distant organs. And that is a way for the doctors to be able to really categorize the cancer. And also, it has a very important part in the prognosis. Stage 1 cancers generally have a much more favorable prognosis.
And what is prognosis?
Prognosis is, what does the future hold for the patient? Usually it's the life expectancy, and it's usually measured in 5 or 10 year intervals. What is the chance that the patient is going to survive 5 years? Is it 90%? Is it 10%?
And so in terms of the staging, is it important that a cancer diagnosis, at least with breast cancer, be made at an earlier stage rather than a later stage?
In every single type of cancer case, the earliest it's diagnosed, the better it is for the patient. Every cancer has different types of prognosis attached to it. Prognosis for breast cancer discovered at a relatively early stage is different than the prognosis for lung cancer that is diagnosed at an early stage.
Now, the typical case that I have handled over the years typically involves women who have breast cancer that could have been diagnosed at a stage 1 and then end up being diagnosed approximately a year later with a stage 3. And just for our viewers, a stage 3 is a cancer that has spread to the lymph nodes. Bob, when we come back, I'm going to continue on the breast cancer, and thank you.